Tonight's Big Brother Eviction Recap is sponsored by Chomps Meat Snacks. Chomps Meat Snacks are a high-quality pantry staple that can be conveniently delivered to your door. They're a great option when you're limiting your grocery store shopping but still want nutritious staples on hand. Chomps products are Whole30 compliant, paleo-friendly, keto-friendly, and free from all 8 major allergens. Chomps Italian beef and sea salt beef flavors are AIP-friendly. Chomps uses the highest quality proteins, including ASPCA, certified grass-fed and finished beef and venison, free-range turkey, hormone and antibiotic-free. Chomps 1.15-ounce sticks contain 9 to 10 grams of protein, and Chomplings half-ounce sticks contain 4 to 5 grams of protein. They're a great snack for any time. The products are free from GMO, gluten, soy, dairy, added sugar, added nitrates or nitrates, MSG, artificial preservatives or coloring, and artificial sweeteners. The Chomps products are nutrient-dense and contain healthy fats. Those are the omega-3s and lean protein. No matter what you're doing, if you're on the go or working at your home, Chomps Meat Snacks are kid-approved as well. So order Chomps now at chomps.com/robpodcast. Use the code robpodcast15 and get 15% off your entire order. That's at chomps.com/robpodcast. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's listening to all of my fans screaming at home. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother recap here. Eviction night number 3. As we said, farewell once again. I guess it's not goodbye. It's until we meet again to Janelle, who ends up going home. It's very sadly, 2 votes to save her or to throw Bailey and Devon under the bus next week. We will talk about it all here with a great panel here tonight. Of course, welcome back, man who sees it all on the Big Brother live feeds. Here is the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm listening to all of my fans. Beautiful.
So nice. So yeah. Nice. Of course, a man who broke out the veil the other night. He has a different costume tonight. He looks like that. I believe that this is what the waiters will look like at the Franzel Arroyo affair. Here is Brent. Welcome on, Brent. How are you?
Much like Janelle, I would never get an invite to that wedding. Even to work there, I would never.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. And we're very excited to have back with us on the podcast tonight, Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
I am super sad, super depressed, but I wore a crown tonight so that Danny could not try to snatch it away from Janelle. So I got the crown.
Yeah, Chantel, you were with us on the Janelle preview. We talked on opening night. You had such high hopes.
I did. I had so much high hopes. And I think that because I wanted her to do so well, that I think that maybe I jinxed her. Maybe I should have been going like all in for Franzel, and maybe Janelle would have come out on top with this one.
Did you have a flicker of hope when there were the 2 votes that ultimately from Danny and from Enzo? No, not even. They took a commercial break.
Not a flicker of hope. I knew that Danny has been wanting to put some hinky votes to pin it on Devon and Bailey. So I knew when she did that and the grin that she had, production knew that. And so I think they're just trying to set us up to make it look like something might be happening. But the fact that she was wearing a dress, you knew that she knew she was going.
But if production knows it, why is Julie melting down after that happens?
Rob, all right, let's go back on script. I'm just a little bit, what is happening? All right.
I mean, Taryn, shouldn't they give her a heads up of like, hey, just so you know, tonight, there might be a couple of votes.
I mean, they still haven't given her the memo that Memphis isn't running the game. So she definitely doesn't know that that there's a hinky vote plan going on.
Yeah, yeah. Coming from Julie in her, she's bringing people up to speed. So far, I think we hear a lot of
fake news
coming from Julie in terms of her reporting about stuff. But we'll cover it all. We'll talk about the HOH. If the feeds come back up, we'll be able to talk about that as well. And presuming that Taryn and I will speak with Janelle in the morning, that I know that there had been a lot of talk about whether or not there was actually going to be an eviction and whether or not Janelle was actually going to go home. But Taryn, at this hour, is there any doubt in your mind that Janelle's out of the game?
Julie, very poorly, but did explain a lot of game secrets. So I think there's no chance that that Janelle's coming back in.
Okay. Are you guys, Chantel, Fred, are you guys sad?
Yeah, we were holding out hope. If you notice, Chantel and I are wearing pink in honor of Janie. Taryn tried to wear pink, but Taryn did attempt it. He has a salmon shirt.
It's salmon.
It's coming out a little orange. You,
it looks way pinker in person. I'm seeing it on the screen and
just
it looks
trust
really
him.
Orange.
Just trust him. Anyway.
It looks more pink than orange in person.
Yeah, do I get partial credit here? What am I? Chopped liver?
Oh, well, okay. It's got a hint of pink. A hint of pink.
Well, what do you want? What do you think? I've got a closet full of pink plaid?
Who am I? I was hoping there was I thought at some point somebody might have given you something that you
could Rob and I are wearing pink, as well as Julie explained the game to Janelle.
Yeah, close enough.
Oh, gosh, Rob, that was tough to listen to. It really was. Listening to Julie try to explain things to Janie, and then Janie thinking, oh, no, he's going to do the wrong thing because he thinks Memphis is running the game, and or Memphis is running the game, but it's not. Memphis is not running the game, and Memphis was not the problem, and Danny was not in her corner. So much stuff wrong with what Julie was saying. It was really frustrating to listen to.
We'll give Janie up till the weekend. She'll be able to.
Her fans will catch her up. I guarantee you, because I don't know if they taped. They've been taping the evictions like an hour or two before. So it may be by this hour, Janelle might have been totally caught up and she's fine. But it was really hard to listen to that interview.
Okay. I want to talk through these potential hinky votes because Taryn, I believe it was on the update this morning, you talked about how Danny floated to Cody, hey, what do you think about, let's do some hinky votes, me and you, let's do it. And Cody was like, no way, I'm not doing that. Did Danny just keep asking people until Enzo said yes? And if so, isn't the idea of a hinky vote that nobody else is supposed to know that you're going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the idea is to cause more distrust. So Danny's idea was to throw these hinky votes in order to blame Davey.
That's a new one.
Davon.
Where's Davey?
Bailey. For these votes, I think in a way, like level six style, like get Davon and Bailey and Kevin and Kaser, just worried about like who voted where and who's lying. And so that was the idea. And so like the fact that her alliance knows, like her peep, the core four knows, it's fine. But honestly, it seems weird to me that Enzo would even agree to do this. It might be that Danny just decided to go ahead doing it herself and that Enzo is just following up separately his hinky vote strategy.
Yeah, that's honestly, Taryn, because I knew James going home. I didn't watch the feeds that closely today. I thought maybe a plan went down that I wasn't aware of between Danny and Enzo, but I think that's even entirely more likely that Danny just went ahead with this because she had her head set on doing it, and Enzo still thinks he's playing in a fantastic game, which he's playing a good social game, but not a fantastic strategic game. And last week he threw out the hinky vote and decided to do it again. Like, what the hell?
That seems weird to me. If the intent is to throw Davon and Bailey under the bus, then they're both separately throwing one hinky vote out there.
Rob, why did Enzo do what he did last week? That didn't make any sense either. So you're trying to assign logic to someone who had no logic the previous week? Like, come on. Like, I mean, maybe they got together. Maybe Danny found her Patsy, but I don't know.
Chantel, do you know then who is the intended audience for? Bailey and Davon, they're trying to vote to keep Janelle. Like, who is that intended to sway that wouldn't already be going for them?
I actually have no idea as to like what direction that would be going in at all. I think that anybody that was going to be voting for Janelle or want Janelle to be receiving these votes would know that they're doing it. So it just seems like it was causing confusion for pretty much no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Brent,
yes.
Can we say some words for Janelle? She came back to Big Brother. She's getting to the point of diminishing returns if we're going to start to chart Janelle's appearances on these shows. What went wrong? She kind of threw Kacer under the bus in talking to Julie.
I mean, I don't know. I think she's just concerned for Kacer and doesn't want him to make the wrong move. I think she wants him to prosper while she's gone. I will say that she doesn't, like, Janelle is not a fantastic strategic player, but she did have a fantastic target coming into this season. Like, there were so many people who wanted Janelle out early, but there are some people like Tyler who did potentially want to work with Janelle, but she could not see that. And by the time she might have seen it, some lines were already drawn. She was already targeting, quote unquote, the other side. I think also what is true is that Cody was going to go after Kacer, but he might not have gone after Janelle in the first week. And also the fact that Janie and Kacer didn't coordinate their safety suite decisions together, that also led to some problems between them that might have kept them safe. But overall, they just couldn't find some people that trusted them and wanted to work with them. And you at the end of the day, people have to want to work with you.
Chantel, in some way, does going out early here, does it improve the, and we'll have to wait till Saturday for the legacy watch, but does it improve the just sort of like the legend of Janelle that she was too great for this world?
I don't think that it improves it, but I don't think that she's going to diminish at all. I think she's going to stay where she is. I think that, you know, especially seeing all the fans, like, save Janelle. We all want Twist this week just to save her, even though we hate Twist. Like, you know, the legend of Janelle is so strong that I think that any way that she placed, she was still going to be, she's going to still be on top.
Yeah. Taryn, does it help in any way that she went out without like a major faux pas? Like, you could quibble with some things of like, oh, she should have played in the safety suite in the first one. But everybody's sort of said like, she was dead to rights coming into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, we saw Sandra go out with a major faux pas in Survivor, and that didn't diminish Sandra's legacy. I think Janelle is Janelle. I think that no matter how many times she plays, no matter how she performs, she's always going to have 6 and 7, and nothing's going to take that away.
Yeah, I will say that even though she'll always have 6 and 7, and I won't say that she's going to have any dent in her legendary status, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more pizzazz from her tonight, especially like, you know, like she's been in the Big Brother house for 3 weeks. She's been having it up to here with Franzel, and she couldn't have given us something on the live show just to like give her fans something to tell off Franzel. Like, it was irritating watching her just be like, give the most benign, bland speech that she possibly could have given for an eviction speech, and then walked out of the house like she loves all these people, when we know that's not true. That's not true that she loves
the
all these
coolest
people.
House she's ever been in.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Wait, yeah. Do you think that
she played with Brittany? She played with Will. She played with Danielle Reyes. What's going on with that comment?
Yeah, Taryn, could you rank the cool houses that Janelle has played in?
Okay, cool houses. Big Brother All-Stars, number one.
Yep.
Big Brother 14 with Dan and Brittany alone, number two. Big Brother 6, she's played with Kacer so many times. He counts in so many of these, so it's you can't really count Kacer too much. He already counts for All-Stars. But Big Brother 6, you know what?
Yeah, Big Brother 6 is probably the bottom.
Yeah, I'd take Big Brother 6 last. Big Brother 22 is above Big Brother 20, Big Brother 6.
Yeah, 7, 14, 22, 6. That's the official rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say that the chat is reminding me that Janie thought that she was potentially coming back in the house, much like us, who wanted Janelle to come back into the house.
All right.
That's the issue.
Okay, Brent, and I think you're onto something here. Do you think that Janelle had gotten some
fake news
that she would not be going home? So she was actually kind of incentivized, let me not blow up the house, because I blow up the house, I go out the door doesn't open, battle back, whatever. And now, oops, I wish I didn't say that.
But here's the thing, okay? Like, she already knows that Franzl doesn't like her. Franzl wants her out. I don't understand the point of at least not giving it to Franzl. And also, yeah, you're correct. She got some fake news. We heard on, like, the first week of the feeds that Janelle was told that she wouldn't be going right home, that she'd be in the lot on CBS until, like, the mid-September is what she was told, which was what initially led all of us to think that Keisha and anybody else evicted after her might have some sort of a pre-jury battle back. But obviously, that's not the case. So Janelle got some bad news, some fake news from one of the producers behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, you know, she was talking about it today and she was telling her close allies, like, hey, I've been asking questions. I know the signs. I can read production. I know that there's going to be, I'm not going home. I'm not leaving. But when she said it that way, I was like, hold on. Cause that's different than hearing specifically that you're staying until September. Because we've also heard Janelle say things like, I know that Danny and Tyler are really close and they trust each other the most. I can tell, I can read people. And so it's like, when you start saying it that way, I'm like, oh, maybe she misinterpreted some things.
Yeah.
Well, also, I'm wondering if, like, she was trying to protect Kacer as well. I know she wants him to do well while she's out of the game. She already has this huge target. So maybe she didn't want to go out with too flashy just in case that he's able to kind of fall into the background like she's been suggesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, if I had a nickel for every time a house guest said, I can read people, I'd be a rich man.
Okay. Well, let's talk about just real quick the prognosis for Kacer moving forward. We don't know the HOH just yet. Chantel, how do you think Kacer is going to be able to pivot from the Janelle era in the house? First time ever, Kacer's in the house without Janelle.
I do think that he has a better chance of going further than Janelle would have, to be quite honest. I think that he has a few people that will not put him up. So I feel like Ian wouldn't put him up. I feel like Christmas wouldn't put him up. And those are just two people that might actually win this particular competition. And so I feel as though he might be safe at least for 1 week, and he might be able to make some friendships, which is what his approach is going to be going forward. So I have actually decently high hopes for Kacer, but I'm not putting any hopes really into it because I do not want to be let down soon.
Yeah, I don't want to be let down either, but I am hopeful as well, Chantal. It depends on who the nominees would be. Like, Kacer might be able to buy himself a week in the Big Brother house, but who are the nominees that takes his place on the block? If those nominees are a set that causes a lot of consternation in the house and breaks the game open a little bit, then I feel better about his chances. If, on the other hand, it's a set of nominees that, you know, really just maintains the status quo for the most part, then I feel like his chances are diminishing.
Taryn, the show really started to set up this whole storyline that went on during the course of the week with David and his blunder with spilling what Tyler had told him to Bailey and Davon, and then really upsetting Tyler and Cody. And that is, I think, still a very fluid situation that we're dealing with for this week. Do you see any overlap coming between what we saw with potentially the Hinky vote, where Danny is trying to throw Bailey and Davon potentially under the bus, and then also this other incident that's going on with this other, I guess, like, we're looking at the map and there's you know, these storm systems merging together, which happens in real life. Do you see those two things coming together to really shake up this week?
Not likely. So what the show didn't show is that Tyler and Cody managed to shut this down pretty effectively. And Bailey and Davon trust that Tyler and Cody did not do this, even though they kind of did. And so that's fine now. But nobody trusts David. Everybody blames David for it, which is very typical of the Big Brother house. An easy scapegoat that can't communicate his way out of it. So he's the guy that everyone is going to blame. So I don't really see that interacting too much with this Hinky vote stuff. However, I do think the Hinky vote stuff may interact with Davon and Bailey's natural suspicion of Tyler, Cody, Danny, and Nicole as a potential foursome. And especially if they feel like they're getting blamed for it, I could definitely see them really starting to retreat away from this Slick Six group.
Yeah, I don't even like Danny's plan in the first place, Rob, because the point of making the slick six in the first place is to keep Bay and Day at bay, to keep them satisfied. But when you throw them under the bus and frame them with hinky votes, like, they're not idiots. They're going to understand that we're being framed by other people to try to make us look guilty as if we kept Janelle. So they're not going to be sitting pretty. They're going to be asking questions. They're going to be investigating. Devon is going to want to solve the puzzle, and that's not going to help Danny. I feel like it would be better for Danny if they were more placid and more satisfied with the status quo. Devon was just saying, like, yesterday or today that she feels the best she's ever felt in the game. She feels so safe right now. Like, why are you going to want to upset that balance, Danny? I don't understand.
I also think it's a bad plan to falsely accuse Devon and Bailey of doing something that they didn't do. I see them being able to defend themselves very, very well, and are not, like, I think that they will be like defend their position so much that you say, it really doesn't seem like they're lying.
Devon will never let go of this until she figures out the truth.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I kind of wonder, though, if Danny will come clean and just be like, oh, I promised Janelle from the beginning that I would never vote. Like, I would never vote for her. And so maybe, like, she can fall back on that just to stay in their good graces.
Yeah, and, like, we haven't even considered that. Like, maybe Enzo did his own thing, and maybe Danny is not really trying to throw a hinky vote. Maybe in her weird mind thinks that, you know, like, as long as she doesn't actually vote to evict Janelle, that maybe she's staying true to whatever pre-game deal that her and Janelle made. I know Taryn floated that on the update earlier today, that Danny, even though she's been campaigning against Janelle, that maybe if she actually doesn't nominate her or if she doesn't vote against her, that maybe she's theoretically staying true to whatever deal they might have made.
I mean, she learned from Eric Stein until production told him to cut it out, right? He had to vote a certain way, but he tried to influence things in the opposite way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Do we think that David is in danger to go home anytime soon after all of these making so many people mad, or is he just now pencil him in for the final two?
I don't think he's going to get to the final two, but I think he's going to be a perpetual pawn. Like, he'll be the renom. I feel like Devon and Bailey are in a pretty shaky situation for the next couple rounds for sure. And I think that David would be an easy renom.
Yeah. Something that happened today is that Christmas actually changed her plans, you know, for now. She had initially been planning on nominating Devon and Bailey if she won HOH. However, last night she stayed up with Devon and Bailey, trash talking David about his lack of knowledge in the game. And this morning she was, had reason to believe that he may have heard some of it. And so now she's like, well, now I got to get this guy out of the house. And so that was kind of what she was thinking today. Although I think even if she does target David, it's hard to see where the votes come to get him out. And I think that people would probably talk her out of it in the first place. Devon also wants to target David. If Devon was HOH, I think people would kind of let it happen. Who knows?
Yeah, can I just talk really quickly about David? Because
yes, I
do want to note that the show did a actually pretty good job of making him look somewhat like an okay Big Brother player. Like, obviously he made a mistake and like really screwed up, but they cut out a lot of the pauses that he has when he talks. Like, I'm not even going to try to do it on the podcast because it would honestly infuriate the audience, but he is absolutely like unable to communicate in an effective manner. He has zero emotional intelligence and just doesn't know how to bond people in the Big Brother house. And they made it look like he actually was an okay-ish / bad player, which is not even the level of bad that he is. Like, he's terrible. He's really, really bad at the Big Brother game, and they didn't show that tonight, so God bless them.
You'll notice that everything that that David says in the episode is a Frankenbite. Like, everything he says is cut together.
Can I ask this question? Because going back to last season, I don't remember hearing this about him. Not that he was, playing particularly great, but in terms of having conversation, I don't remember hearing this criticism of him having very stilted conversations. Was that there last year and we just weren't talking about it?
It was. We talked about it briefly, but he wasn't really in the game, so it didn't matter all that much. Mm-hmm. But he had some very awkward conversations with Kat, especially with Holly. He would like talk to somebody and it would like they were having two different conversations and we were like, this is weird, but I don't know, it's a weird house. So,
right, but then they cut to the diary room where he gave like, you know, a litany of different things that might have been happening in the Big Brother house, and at one point he said, you know, I'm reading the situation, I think there's this big alliance that's happening, and we're all like, oh my god, he's so good at reading people. But of course that might have been like amongst a thousand things that he said in the diary room, and they just made him look like
it never matched what he was saying on the feeds. It never did.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, can I just ask you a theory about David? That do you feel like that is any part of this like a self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of like, has David, he's went through this whole experience with Camp Comeback, he's told he can't talk about the game, then he comes into this house and you have Memphis and all these people, you're just a rookie, you're a rookie, you don't know what he's doing, and now here he is making mistakes, he's like, oh, I guess, I'm just such a rookie. I don't know what I'm doing. Do you think that, is there an alternate reality where had David not been that first person out in that first house, could he have gone on a different trajectory, but now he just has this baked into who he is?
I would say that if he had actually played a full season of Big Brother, he would be a little bit of a better player. But I don't think, now seeing him in this season, that he has the capability. I don't think he's a good at this game. He doesn't watch it. He doesn't see it. Like, he just doesn't. I don't think it's a possibility.
In order to be able to be effective at Big Brother, you have to be able to communicate well with other people. You have to make them believe that you have their own best interest at heart. And he just is not good at the basic 101 level of talking with people in a coherent manner.
But he doesn't know the game at all.
I know.
At all. And so, yeah, I don't think he's ever going to do well. Or whatever.
Ovi has tweeted out that he prepared seasons for David to watch. I know that he had put together like some competitions to study. Like Ovi really did some homework for David to study. David apparently did not.
You can lead a horse to water.
Yeah.
You can't get them to drink it. I recall.
Why wasn't Ovi on the end of the season? Like anybody at this point.
Yeah, there was once upon a time that I did do some interviews for the first Big Brother celebrity, and that I was there with the people as they brought them in, and Meta World Peace was there, and they said, Meta, did you get the DVDs that we sent you? And he said, yeah, and I threw them all in the garbage, which ironically was in what they did with the interviews that I did right after that. They all threw them in the garbage. So
yes, the lost tapes. Yes,
you
we
could
remember those well.
You know, try to get people to watch stuff, but they don't want to. They're not going to do it. Okay. Let's see. From this episode, we had the campaigning. We had the whole business with David and going back to Tyler and Cody.
I want to say something positive about Tyler. Can I say something positive about Tyler?
Please
since I never
do.
Get a chance to. People think I'm anti-Tyler. I must give him credit. That was a real fire that was set for him in the Big Brother house this week. I really thought his game was going to come crashing down, and he did a really effective job. And they didn't even really show it on the episode. He did such a good job of really trying to put out the fire that was started by David between himself and Bailey and Davon in a way that really made them think, you know what, we believe Tyler.
Yes.
And
I mean,
that wasn't evident on Tuesday night.
Brent, I mean, that is Tyler, the really vintage Tyler from Big Brother 20, where the early days in the first half of the game, where that I used to say that Big Brother 20 was like a sitcom where Tyler was the main character, where like he's got like, oh, my boss is here. Oh, okay. Dinner is on fire in the oven. Okay, quick. Yeah. Let me put down this fire and then let me get back up here. And then let me jump into this conversation with somebody else who doesn't know that my other boss is in the other room. And he had all this stuff going on. And that's why why, like, once he settled into showman's Tyler, yeah, he definitely became a much less exciting figure on the show. But this is what he does. He's great at sort of like keeping all these plates spinning.
Yes, I remember, like, in the early days of Big Brother 20, I would give him, like, you know, fives and sixes on the Stockwatch because I'm like, well, he can't keep all of these plates spinning forever. And then he did. And then, you know, fast forward to this season, and things have been going pretty smoothly up until now. But he didn't play as hard early this season as he did in the early part of Big Brother 20. However, what you can't account for is the fact that sometimes other people make you play hard. And what David did was effectively make Tyler play harder than he might not have otherwise had to have played. And the thing is, it was a lot of it was luck. Like, Tyler even notes on the feeds that, like, so much of this game is luck because Tyler happened to be coming around the corner when David was talking to Bay. And if that doesn't happen, I don't know that David rats himself out to Tyler and says, look, I threw you under the bus and I'm sorry.
Okay. Whoa.
I know.
Got drag racing going on. Right there, huh?
Someone driving down the street. Okay. You can hear that?
I had no idea. Yeah.
I'd love to just touch on Ian real quick. We had a moment in the episode. It was really not part of any other storyline other than a quick shot of us finding out Ian. Hey, don't forget about him. Ian says, this is exactly where I want it to be. I want to play dumb, which he did say coming into the house about 5 weeks or so. Get a quick shot of Ian talking with Christmas.
Oh my God, I'm cooking.
What are you making?
Okay. Taryn, are you finding this consistent with what you've been seeing from Ian on the feeds?
No.
Not in the least.
Ian is always like, we know Ian. Like, he can't help himself. He's stomping people in backgammon. He's rattling off facts. Like, he's not acting like he's dumb.
Yeah, he got competitive in that charades game that they played. Like, there's no way anyone's like, even if this was a real plan that he's actually implementing in the Big Brother house, there's no way that people are going to buy that Ian, who's literally one of the smartest people in the house, is dumb. Like, they might buy that he's quiet, but they're not going to buy that he's
dumb.
But
Christmas said she's cooking, and he said, what are you making?
I didn't even get that at first. Like, I really thought she was cooking.
Yeah. I think he genuinely misunderstood. And you know what? I also misunderstood.
Thank you.
The clip. I was like, okay, what is she cooking?
Because it's not like we feel.
Yeah. And then he was silent, and I was like, oh, I get it now. And now, okay, it's weird. Like, I think I got it a little sooner than he did. But, like, I made the same mistake. This isn't, like, something super stupid.
Did she say the Christmas bacon is cooking? Was that what she was saying?
I think something like that.
I think that's why they included the clip. They just wanted...
She went third person. I love it.
Yeah, because even that didn't explain it that well. I'm like, so you're making bacon? Like, what?
Yeah.
And what is the Christmas bacon? Is that a part of anybody's holiday tradition?
Yeah. I'm being reminded in the chat, like, Ian is straight up telling people I'm the smartest person in the house.
Yeah. And that's a dumb thing to do. So that he's really proving it, that would be very dumb to tell everybody you're very smart. He's one step ahead.
Just a quick break before we get back to our Big Brother eviction recap. I want to tell you about one of our sponsors for tonight, and I'm so excited to have them back. It's been a minute, but Ship is back. Listen to this. The Ship dating app is perfect for people that are looking for that special someone or people that are in happy relationships. What are you talking about, Rob? Yes, let me explain to you. My lovely wife, Nicole, and I have been together for 17 years. I never thought I'd be able to credibly tell you about a dating app, but then there's Ship. Ship is great. I can use it because Ship lets you swipe for your friends and find them matches. And when your friends start dating someone, it's kind of like you're sort of in the relationship too, because you can set up your friends, your single friend gets on Ship. They invite you to be part of their crew, and you help them find matches. Hey, how about this person? How about this person? How about this person? It's fun for them. It's fun for you. Makes you feel more interested in what they're doing. It's more, you're closer to your friends. It's a great conversation starter. It's fun for everybody. Ship is going to create a group chat, so everybody who's in your crew, you can have multiple people in your crew. It's like an alliance. It's like basically like this big alliance in the house. You'll feel like you're part of the committee even. So in the group chat, you could talk to the whole crew about who's right for your friend, who's not right for your friend. It's a great way to bring everybody closer together. Date someone your friends already like. Download Ship, the app that lets you swipe with friends. That's Ship, S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store to start swiping today. Now, let's get back to the Big Brother eviction recap. Chantel, what did you think about Julie's interview with Janelle? They broke it off and they said, hey, we'll do a whole segment with Janelle.
Well, I thought that Julie showed that she's a fan, and that's why I really liked that compared to how she was talking to Nicole Anthony. Like, she definitely wasn't a fan of her in that particular interview.
You didn't remind Janelle, stay 10 feet away. Remember, go sit very far away from me.
Yeah, she was just like warmer to Janelle. I think, you know, obviously they've kind of grown up together for the last, you know, 15 years. And so I think that there was a lot of respect that she had for Janelle, and she probably wanted her to do better. But I like the interview in the sense that Julie is a fan and I'm a fan. And so we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Julie interviewing Janelle was like me on my first podcast with you, Rob. I mean, I do love you, Rob. I mean, it's fine.
Here's some clips of Julie welcoming Janelle out.
Wait, take a listen. Do you hear that? Those are your fans screaming at the television right now.
Like, I think that was a little bit awkward to say when it was like deafening silence also. Yes, like, you hear that? You hear that noise? Nothing? Those are your fans right now.
That sounded like shade to me.
Yeah.
Like she's like, did you hear that? Because I don't hear nothing. Those are your fans. Like, well, what? Chantel, what was that?
I was hoping that she was going to announce a twist at that moment. I was like, please.
The minute she started talking about votes, I was like, shut it down. She's gone.
Shut it down. Yeah. Julie does. She loves Janelle.
I love you. No reason to love you. She's
like, very impressed with her outfit. That's what she's like. Oh my God. You're wearing a dress.
I know, right?
I love you.
Janelle did look good, though. She looked good.
Yes. Things, I think, also then got a little awkward and slow when Julie played the, okay, guess who the two votes that, to send you out of the house for?
Can we just, like, Rob, you have to know this. Oh, sorry. Yes. You want to play it? I'm going to feel frustrated because this never works. Questioning someone and making them think on live television or even live to tape television is never good TV because you sit there and you watch the person think. But watching someone think is not necessarily good TV. In fact, it's awful TV. We do not want to sit there and watch Janie think about who the votes might be, and then when she gets them wrong, like Julie's
try again.
Yeah, she's like a little mom. She's like mom who's like, nope, try again. Nope. And then we have to watch Janie think again, wrong again, and then finally she gets it right, but she doesn't even understand why they're right.
Well, hold on, does she get it right?
Danny and the New Jersey guy.
Enzo?
Yes.
What the hell, Janie? She's lived in the house with him for 3 weeks. His name is Enzo.
Yeah, we made fun of Keisha for
right?
Taylor.
This is way worse.
Yeah. What is his name? The guy,
one of the peasants,
the New Jersey guy, the crayon guy, the meow. So you know what I'm talking about. The Shundance kid. It's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was not good. Janie, that disappointed me.
Well, I think that, you know, her mind was racing. She's thinking like all the alliances that she thought was going, like, her, you know, her whole game is just basically blowing up in front of her eyes. I think that she was just a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that She was so wrong.
And because Julie later in the interview commented about the fact that, you know, hey, you blew up the alliance to Memphis and that caused your demise, when that really, that is not what caused her demise. In fact, Memphis was the least of her problems. Memphis, if he got HOH, would not have targeted Janelle. He got HOH last week and he didn't target Janelle. Why? Well, why is Julie trying to blame Memphis as the source of Janelle's problems when he was just HOH last week, had a clean shot to get Janelle out of the house and did not take it? That is not Janelle's problem with Memphis.
But, you know, he was spreading all of her secrets to the people that are her enemies.
He wasn't,
and so I
he
think
wasn't
that
great, but he was not the problem.
she was like, he was using you for information until he decided it was time to cut you.
Okay, not like that.
Not true. Thank you.
What?
Yeah. We also got to hear some goodbye messages from everybody, and including one from Nicole. With no glasses. Here is Nicole telling Janelle a very special message. Yes.
I know you probably don't want to come to my wedding, so just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
With that little smile, too. That little, like, I'm being a little shit right now. And I know it.
Yes. Yes. Taryn. Okay. First off, that do you think Janelle will accept the invitation from the wedding, or should Janelle still show up for Nicole's wedding?
Well, here's the thing. That was not a full uninvitation.
Yeah.
That was, hey, I know you probably don't want to come, so don't worry about it. I might say that to somebody that I know is busy or that lives far away. Hey, I know it's a big hassle. Don't worry about it. That is not a full do not come to my wedding. As far as I'm concerned, Janelle still has an invitation.
Chappelle, should Janelle show up on the day of Nicole's wedding?
I don't think she wants to. Like, she's going to be, she's just too gorgeous and sophisticated to go at whatever wedding
that
she's going
to
be having.
That's why she needs to show up, Chantel. That's why she needs to show up there. Show up, Nicole.
They'd be so mad at her for stealing her moment because she's going to look better than Nicole Franzel. She's going to wear white. Oh, my God.
God, yes. I can hear Jamie cracks about Nicole wearing white. That'll be great.
We'll see. We'll see.
I have a feeling Janelle's style is more just like, I wasn't planning on going, but that's fine. Like, she's not going to waste her time.
Yeah, I think she should show up. Just being there. She doesn't have to make a scene. Just being there would completely ruin the day.
Yes, exactly. That's all she has to do. It's just
be there and just be pleasant and like, oh my God, I can't believe she came. I told her not to come. She didn't feel like it. Now she's here. That's the best thing she could do.
Yes, that would be awesome. And that will happen in our fanfic somewhere. Yes.
Yes. Bring Bailey as the plus one.
Exactly.
All right. Taryn, I saw you noted this on Twitter as well. After the goodbye messages, Julie said, hey, look, that it wasn't as lopsided as you thought. There were people that had your back.
I just have to defend Davon, Bailey, and Kevin. They do love you, but no one wants to make waves right now.
Lies! That is Kevin? Lies! Kevin does not love her!
Kevin? No. Not
like,
at
Julie
all.
Is such a casual this season.
Such a casual. Like,
you know, apparently the person that usually fills Julie in is working from home this season because she's not getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you would think that she doesn't have too much else to do, right?
I don't understand how she can't be a little bit more up to speed. Like, Taryn,
I mean,
it's
could
really easy.
Listen to the live feed update.
Well, even if she doesn't do that, have someone listen to the live feed update. I'll go
on
to
Twitter.
Like, Big Brother Daily or something. Like, there's ways to get up to speed on what's happening to distill it down to what's happening in the Big Brother house.
You guys are being unfair. It takes a lot of work to figure out what phrase you want to say at the end of the episode. Like, Julie has to come up with that on her own. Normally she just gets fed lines, but Brent, she has to come up with these lines at the end on her own. That's tough work. That's a writer's job. People get paid to be writers. She takes a long time. She doesn't have time to catch up on the feeds.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. We did hear her last week tell us, if you have the choice to be right or be kind, be kind. And
I'm outside the Big Brother house. I'm Julie Chen Moonves. And remember, be kind.
She literally had the choice to make her sign off, be right or be kind. She chose be kind.
very clever tie-in. I love the callback. It's it bookends the first week and the second and the third week in the right way. I just very impressed. Very symbolic as well. It's I mean, could it win an Emmy? I don't know.
Well, maybe it's because Janelle took the high road with, you know, not blowing up at Franzel, that she wanted to reward Janelle with, you know, be kind, we're standing here with you.
I'm a little put out with the DR producers, honestly, I have to tell you, because I wish they would have given Janie a heads up. Look, girl, you're going home. Like, there is no after for you. Like, this is the end of the road. If you get evicted tonight, it is done. To let her know, okay, I can let these people have it. But instead, they, like, led her on a little bit, and they knew she had an idea in her head, and it's just, that's a little frustrating to me.
You'd like to see that? You'd like to see them have more influence in the game?
Not influence, so just like say, hey, like we heard you say on the feeds that someone told you that you'll be here till mid-September. That is not true. You may or may not, but no one told you that. So, like, just let her know, hey, you're getting the wrong read. You're actually going to go home tonight, so that she wouldn't think that she was going to stay in the house or have a chance to get back in.
They've done that before, not in the diary room, but they've made an announcement to the whole house. There are no buybacks. And it's useful because it encourages them to not play scared.
And it would also be useful insofar as the next HOH, because a lot of the reason for potentially getting Kacer out next week is because of the fact that they're worried that Janelle might come back and they might team up again. Like, people are actually worried that if they leave Kacer in the game, which a lot of these people are inclined to do, that if Janelle comes back, then now it's Kacer and Janie reunited, and now they're a pair again, and they're terrorizing the house again from their point of view. So, like, that it would even help Kacer if they knew that there was no buybacks this season, at least for the pre-jury.
Yeah, I never understand why they don't give the contestants, like, all the rules of the game that they're playing, you know, so they can do a good job and play well. And I'm never really a fan of people playing scared. Of course they want to see these blow-ups. If they know that they have nothing to lose, they can just go out guns blazing. And so everybody's going to play a little bit even more so scared if they don't know what's happening next. I know, expect the unexpected, but, you know, whether or not there's going to be a buyback maybe could be something that could be shared with them.
Well, speaking of expect the unexpected, that we all expected an endurance comp coming into tonight. And this was something which I don't recall ever seeing an HOH competition that was like this one. Brent, what was this competition?
This was, if you've ever gone to an amusement park like Six Flags or Kings Island or something, and you have ever played the bowler roller game, or you have like a bowling ball and you have to, like, you know, get it just over the hill so that it lands in the little space, the little valley between. That's basically what they were playing tonight, because you had to throw the ball up the ramp with enough speed to make sure that it didn't go too fast, so that it had a chance to go in one of the three holes.
Right.
And it was, like, it's interesting, at least. At least it's a new new look. I'd rather have this than a wall comp, I'll put it that way.
Taryn, this is a modification of, we've seen this before on the veto, right? Where you have to get, like, 200 times of, like, roll the ball over and then run to the other side. But if you didn't push far enough, then your ball was going to fall down. So this is interesting that they've taken something that they have used in a different competition and turned this into an HOH. And it speaks to something that you have been rallying for a while of new comps.
Yes. That's what I thought it was when I first saw it. And I love that this is the competition, because even the, you know, keep the ball from falling to the ground competition, it favors, you know, people that are, like, super in shape and immediately narrow down the field. But this is anybody's game. It looks like, you know, rolling the ball and waiting for it to fall to the other side takes longer than it takes to run to the other side. So, you know, physical ability, it's not going to be a limiting factor. Like, yeah, sure, like hand-eye coordination. Like, Tyler would probably dominate this because he's a bowler. But beyond that, you know, this is pretty much anyone's game, and that's great. They thought it would be an endurance because the backyard's been closed down for an extra day than normal, and they heard, like, this big build happening. No idea where that big build is.
I'm not complaining.
This is super exciting. Way more exciting to watch, because it's anybody's game than something that is like this big setup that you know, only five people can win.
We also don't know how many people are working in the art department this season in terms of building these competitions, that they might have a much smaller crew where it takes them much longer to get these competitions set up.
If this is the result, I'm in favor of it. I will say that we did see on the episode that one person did advance to the final round, and that was Kacer. Kacer actually got all three balls into their respective holes and was walking around like the man for about a couple minutes, watching everybody else try to catch up to him. So we know Kacer at least advanced to the final round, so he's got a shot to win HOH.
Chantel, can you talk us through, we're in this, you know, Schrodinger's, not Jeff Schrodinger's, HOH right now, where we can dream, we can imagine, what would a Kacer HOH look like?
Oh, it would just, I think he'll be like, this is for you, Janie, this is for you.
Oh my God.
And I think that he would just go for it and put up Franzel and Danny. Just, that's what Janelle wanted. I think he would just do it. Like, he's going to want to team up with the guys. Like, the guys are the only ones that are giving them the open door, them and Christmas. And I just think that he might just go for revenge and put those girls up.
I mean, like, earlier this week, I wouldn't have necessarily been excited about a Kacer HOH because he was talking about potentially Kevin or, like, you know, who knows who the hell, like, Kacer was going to put up. Like, he might have got one of the nominees right, but one of the nominees was always wrong from, like, our all-seeing omnipotent point of view. But yesterday and today, Janelle was trying to get him to put up Franzel, and the only way he was going to be able to do that was to put up Danny right next to her. If he actually won HOH and put up Franzel and Danny, I'm praying that whatever room opens up in the house doesn't screw that up, because that would be our luck. But I think he could get Franzel out a couple different ways. Franzel and Danny might do it. Franzel and Cody might do it. Like, the thing about Franzel is that there is no surefire way to get her out of the house. I do think that Danny is the best chance, but there are a lot of people that also want Danny out of the house. So, I don't know. I think that even if he really wanted Franzel out, I don't know that there's a way to do it.
Okay. Taryn, do you subscribe to that? Is that what Kacer would do?
Yeah, the last thing he talked about was Nicole and Danny, which would be very interesting because Danny's been getting in some hot water lately.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions, and then do we know the HOH yet? Is that unconfirmed?
There's an unconfirmed possible.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take some questions and see maybe if we get closer to confirmation as we go along here. Okay. Let's take some questions from our listeners. Of course, that when I tweet out the link for the episode, send us your questions if you have them. You want to get them into the episode. Scott St. Pierre standing by. Let's go ahead. And Zaddy Taryn wants to get us started tonight. Have you ever seen a more enthusiastic Julie when talking to Janelle? Julie was gushing over Janie. Taryn, I liked when you said on Twitter that it's nice to see Janelle talking to one of her fans.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. It felt like Julie just lost all sense of professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I mean,
love really, you.
I love you.
Julie's off her game this season. Like, I remember the last couple seasons being like, hey, Julie,
let me get back on script
lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so this season.
Look, I really, here's what it is. Julie's very, like, I think she likes the intimacy of them sitting on the couch with her and then her knocking them in the head if they do stuff wrong. I think it's the COVID thing. The fact that they had got to sit, like, 10 feet across the room from her in order to communicate with the freaking mask on, which, again, is dumb. Whatever. Well, I'm not going to get into it. The point is, like, it's not the way it used to be, and I really feel like Julie's a little out of her element.
Yeah. Chantel, when she first greeted the house guests, she was so thrilled.
Oh, thank you. I love the enthusiasm in there.
Yeah. Any contact. Julie is excited. Okay. Except if it's Nicole Anthony coming out of the house and she's like, hey,
then she's like,
you screwed this up for Janelle, my favorite.
You screwed it up.
Yeah. Okay. Matthew Pagazny says, with the trend of really simplistic COVID-friendly made challenges, what are the chances we see OTEV this season? Slim to none, right? I bet they can do it.
Or like maybe a zoom in from OTEV, you know, have him call into the house guests. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a possibility. I will have to shade this person though, because like OTEV is the easiest thing to spell. It's just Vito spelled backwards. Like that's the point, and you spelled it wrong. So work on that.
Ooh, we've never had that before where Brent has criticized the spelling.
It's because it's one of our commenters. The point of the word is OTEV. It's Vito spelled backwards. There's no I in Vito. Anyway.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Let people spell what they want to spell.
Yeah. Boy, Bill, I'm getting flashbacks. So it's like I'm podcasting with Stephen Fishback right now. Okay. Ryan says, Enzo hasn't talked about his hinky boat on the feeds or on the show. And he doesn't give us a wink or a smile when casting his hinky boat. Are we sure that Enzo isn't putting a meta world piece and voting for the person he wants to stay? Okay. Wow. Taryn, what do you think of this theory?
It's Fugazi. What are you talking about? What is with this? Yo, don't be accusing me of that. That's it. It's on. That's not done.
Yeah. Chantel, could Enzo have forgotten how Big Brother works?
No, I think that he knows what he's doing, and I think he just doesn't bring it up, and people don't bring it up because they don't want to have a big blow up. They seem to want to be keeping everything calm. Like, they're just worried that something's going to blow. So I think that he's doing it on purpose, but he's not bringing it up on purpose as well.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Sasha, the great Sasha Joseph. Who do y'all think production didn't choose? Why do y'all think production didn't choose to save Janelle?
Oh, because they never give us what we want. Like, seriously, they just never give us what we want. I don't understand.
The show isn't actually rigged, guys.
Fine.
So they want you to think. Yeah, that's what they mean.
If there was ever a situation where they would change up the comps to specifically suit Janelle or specifically introduce a new twist in order to save somebody, it would have been this week. I guarantee it, guys.
Yeah. I also do really subscribe to that Janelle was blocking whatever is going to unfold the rest of the season. Having Janelle there was just blocking it. And while, you know, people were really excited to have her on the season, she really wasn't delivering that much excitement to the season. Is that fair to say? Am I going to get dragged for saying that?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I think you're going to get dragged for it.
Like, what does she do?
She was trying to rally the votes. She was trying to, like, cause people to wake up on the other side of the house.
Yeah.
But she never had a clear picture of what was really happening. I think Memphis did her a little bit wrong. I know that the chat, because I said Memphis wasn't the problem. He wasn't the problem, but he was a problem for her because he didn't necessarily have her back. He was just someone who wasn't actively targeting her, but he did not have Janelle's back and could care less if she went home. Obviously, like, you can even tell tonight during the eviction votes, so many people came in and said, I vote to evict the legendary, iconic, amazing Janelle. Memphis literally goes in there and is like, I vote to evict Janelle. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about Janelle. So I think that might have been a little bit of a problem. But overall, like, I think she performed about as well as she could. She got second place in that HOH competition. We were 1 point away from her, like, wrecking this season. We got a little unlucky with the breaks.
Yeah.
And I also think that if in the beginning she had more huge targets, more winners, more like the Dans, like she would have had people that she could hide behind at least, and then maybe be able to rally her troops together. I think that because she was just such a big flashy target that everybody was just like, oh, we can all go against her. And
yeah,
it was just
the only flashy target.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say though, on the other hand, like the fact that she was one of few big targets in the house was almost why Tyler didn't go after her. I think that if there were other big targets in the house, that isn't necessarily a good thing for her. It makes it easier for bigger targets to let her go when she's not with them.
And I'll also say this, okay? To Janelle Nation, I will add, I do believe Janelle will play again. I do believe that at some point, and who knows, maybe sooner than later, if, you know, we're unable to get any sort of scripted TV production back on a regular schedule. I mean, not for anything. I'm watching all these previews for all these different Tyler Perry shows that are able to film, because Tyler Perry has got this whole campus in a bubble. If there was ever a time when Survivor was going to get some advice from Tyler Perry, it'd be how to shoot a season, but I digress. I do believe that we will see some point down the road, mark this time, we will see Janelle play again. I think that they'll do the celebrity length season, 3 weeks, Big Brother Legends. I believe that will happen.
Here's the problem. I think that maybe that was on the cards. I don't know how down for that even like the like Dan and Derek and them are for it.
They wouldn't play for 3 weeks.
Dan has been talking about like the vitriol and the negativity running in this season is even just toward him, who's not even playing for, let's be real, no good reason, has kind of turned him off.
I mean, if they gave those guys
Cry Me a River, Jesus,
100K, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on.
Come on.
Like, this isn't even that bad. We complain about some stuff that's happening. We're mad Janie went home. We're mad the stupid alliance doesn't have any people of color in it. Like, I mean, I'm all mad about all that shit, all right? But, like, everything else, like, I feel like this is par for the course. What's Dan complaining about?
Did you see what was happening online in the first week?
He like stuck his nose in and got in pre-gaming with Memphis, and he did help Memphis a little bit, so own your shit, Dan. Sorry. Yeah.
You know this for a fact?
Well, like, I meant...
This is what I'm talking about.
Yes. You really think that Memphis went into the Big Brother house and did not talk with Dan Gieseling? Really?
I think he probably did, but I'm not going to trash somebody endlessly.
I'm not trashing him. I'm just saying
I'm
own
saying
it.
I'm saying you did. Okay. I'm saying the internet did.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Everybody relax. Okay.
Well, you know what they might do instead? Maybe they will give Janelle and Kacer their own little reality television show, because I've been crying for all these tribute videos, and I'm like, oh my God, this pair, they're so amazing. So, I mean, if they take that, the audience loves that, maybe put that together and make a show. Maybe
all right, pitch me, Chantel. What's the show?
Two unlikely friends meeting in a reality television competition.
Yeah, okay, but what are they doing now?
It's going to be their lives with their kids, and like maybe a house swap or a family swap. Or live each other's lives for a week or something like that. Like,
but they're not together.
Well, or she joins him and he joins her, and they kind of share each other's lives.
Yeah, I mean, they have like noted the fact that that Janie and Kacer, you know, like after 7, they didn't really talk that much. They send little notes here and there, you know, on the internet, but they have not really connected in real life. And they have lamented the fact in the house, like, hey, like I'm sorry, like we don't keep in contact more. Like we got a good thing here, we got a good friendship. Like let's not lose that when we eventually leave this season.
Here's the show,
Disney World.
Here's the show, Janelle and Kacer move in together, two families under one roof, and they legally adopt Howie. That's the show. They have joint custody.
Yes, I'm all for it.
I would watch it.
Yeah.
I was watching Big Brother 6 the other night, just because like I was kind of a little sad, and I was watching Howie and Kacer and Janie in a room together after Kacer won HOH. They were the original three, man. Like I'd be all down for that. Yeah.
Okay. Take some more questions here. Let's go ahead and talk to Katie. And remember the new but first. Good question. Is and remember the new but first?
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. And remember, be kind.
I did forget.
Yeah. We
a couple
all the time.
Of times on podcasts this week, I forgot to be kind. But
yeah.
Be. Kind.
It's definitely her new thing. Yeah. Like she's got a sign off.
I like the implication that like what she said, like you already know this. I'm not telling you anything new. Remember this because you have forgotten, or you may have forgotten.
Like all you had to do is be nice. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's take another question. Everett says, "Is Enzo laying solo? That Janelle doesn't even know his name. How else would she have forgotten the name of her housemate of 20 days? Yeah, Darren, it's not like his name is Mike or something that unforgettable. His name is Enzo.
Yeah. It's
the meow meow.
She was just evicted. She's talking to an obsessed fan. other things.
She was freaked out.
Overwhelmed.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Then Ryan says, what do you think is more likely, Boston Rob returning for another season of Survivor or Janelle returning for another season of Big Brother? I've said that I think Janelle will play again. I'm pretty sure Boston Rob will never play again. Does anybody on the panel disagree with that opinion?
I do not disagree with that. I think Rob will never come back to Survivor, and I do
think they give him another Redemption Island.
I mean, he's already proved himself. He already played the winter season. I just think he's done. I really do think he's done.
I think you'll see one of Boston Rob's children on Survivor.
I think
one
that's
day.
True.
I would say look into that in about, God willing, 6-7 years. But if Boston Rob is done, he's not playing Survivor again.
Yeah, but Janelle, I do think, could come back to Big Brother. Like, her fan, her status, I think maybe took a little bit of a hit in 14. Like, because she, she didn't do a lot, and she was unceremoniously evicted, by better players than her. And this season, like, she was constantly the underdog. Like, there was never a point in time where people weren't rooting for Janelle. So I do think that it helped her out a little bit. I mean, I kind of forgot how much I love Janelle, to be honest. And watching her this season has been a real gift.
Chantel, it's been a tough year for our returning faves to come. It's been a tough year for a lot of things.
And I know, like, I obviously we're just talking about Survivor 40. Like, I was like, I had so high hopes for seeing Poverty and Rob, and then now this. I just had to realize that what I want to see is not necessarily what is meant to happen, and just enjoy them being on my screen, because I would watch the feeds of Janelle just doing nothing, cooking for all these people or whatever. I'm like, I just enjoy her presence. And so I am grateful that she came back for that much. And now that she's gone, she's not coming back, I can move on with the season and maybe find somebody else that I might
really
like a little bit.
Chantel, I'm really hoping that there is a punishment at some point for Franzel where Janelle comes back into the house, because Franzel is so petty with Janelle. Did you know that Janelle made cookies? I think it was yesterday or the day before, where she made cookies in the house, and Nicole Franzel did not want to get the cookies herself because she didn't want to give Janelle the satisfaction that she was eating her cookies. So she had Ian go and get the cookies for her and bring them back to her bedroom so that she could eat the cookies and didn't even thank Janelle. That's how petty she is.
I watched it. I was really annoyed.
What kind of cookies were they?
I couldn't tell.
Butter.
They said it was buttery. They said it was buttery and really tasty.
Yeah. Okay. Put some chocolate chips in those cookies. Come on. Is she a have not?
She was what she was cooking them, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, she was.
Maybe that affected her.
Remember, Franzel made her the have not. Like, I'm going to pick the person who I think hasn't done it and talks about me, Janelle.
Yes. Oh, by the way, yes. Do we think that we will get Kaser making Nicole Franzel a have not tonight?
100%.
Yes. That will happen.
This is for Janie.
Just do it,
Kaser. Like, I think, like, if Kaser was a better player,
he's not.
But if he was a better player, I think he would not do that necessarily to Franzel and say this is for Janie. But I do think that he's going to do it, and I'm really hoping we get to see it.
Do you think Nicole will cry?
Hope so. That'd be worth crying. Like, somebody actually, somebody did something to you, but everything else she cries about is fake stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another question. This is from Navara. What do you think the new room will be? Now, Taryn, this was interesting because I would have thought that Julie would have hinted at, okay, and then on Thursday we'll reveal the brand new lobby of the Big Brother house. We didn't get any mention of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they usually, give us a week off before they really start hammering home the next one. This isn't Big Brother Canada, so I would expect to hear, in the next, by next Thursday for sure, about what the new thing is.
Okay. Brent or Chantel, do you have any theories on what the next power could be?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be something that screws up if we get a good HOH that's going to rock the house. I'm sure whatever comes up is going to screw that up. I know that for sure. That's how things work on the Big Brother house.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, okay, if they're not going to use this room for them to be locked away and then they're going to come back in a battle back, then obviously we're going to get the person that we want out. They're going to be going to that room and then they're going to be coming back for the battle back and coming right back in. So I'm with you, Brent. I don't think we're going to get what we want. And so I hate twists again. So
yeah, I will say Reddit has been long thinking theoretically, like, what's up with that room? Because that room is absolutely huge. It's big enough for someone to live in. Like, they're thinking, production made this whole room for, like, that's big enough for someone to live in, just for, like, people to go up there and play one competition that doesn't even take up, half the room. So they've been thinking that maybe people were going to get, like, quote unquote, fake evicted to that room and then have a chance to come back into the game. But obviously we got nothing about it tonight. So who knows? I don't know.
It's not like it's off site. Like it's in a different building. Like yeah, it's not like they just took an empty room from a different building to make a comp in.
They make it look like an elevator.
It's not like anything else is filming on that lot right now. I feel like that there's probably very little production happening. I think they have their whole run of the Studio City CBS lot to be able to do whatever they want. So, okay, we'll see. All right. Some more questions. Faison says, why hasn't the show acknowledged the existence of the two other real alliances that Bailey and Davon have been a part of, one with Enzo and Cody and one with Tyler? Okay, there's so many overlapping alliances in the house. Taryn, any thoughts on why the show has only chosen to give us this one alliance in the house, the commission?
They really like
the committee.
Storyline of Memphis being this mastermind villain. If I thought that they were doing this on purpose, my theory would be that they're setting Memphis up for a fall because they know that he's not actually running the house. And so when Memphis goes down, they can have that be like the big moment where the villain falls. They're focusing a lot. It's a lot easier to focus on the committee.
I agree. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like what happened in Big Brother Canada 6, where there's all sorts of different things happening in the house, and they're trying to distill it down to the easiest thing for the viewers to understand, even if that is not actually accurate to what's actually happening in the house right now, because the commission is one aspect of a lot of different things that are happening in the house right now between Connect Four and the Slick Six and the commission and the Root and whatever. But the point being that they can't cover all of that on the episode, so they have to sort of pick one story that sort of touches everybody that they think is going to be included in that storyboard, and then use it as a proxy for the rest of the things that are happening in the house.
It's also more of an old school alliance. We talked about this in the first couple of weeks, that Memphis is like trying to merge old school with new school. And so it is more of a just regular secret six person alliance. Whereas, the other stuff that Cody has going on are these like nested onion, shapes alliances with different variations. And also the fact that Bailey and Davon are working with Janelle and Kacer is harder to understand if mm-hmm. you're this is the group that's running the house. So it's easier to focus on the committee because they're all not, having these scenes with Janelle and Kacer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard for the fans to understand that Bailey and Davon are at the same time simultaneously working with Janelle Kacer, but also have things going on with the majority alliance that's in the house. It's hard for people to understand that the editing on Big Brother works best not from my point of view, but from their point of view, they think when it's more black and white. And unfortunately, there's a lot of overlapping alliances and stories this season, and it's not making their job any easier.
Okay. Let's take another question from Ramona. Can a case or HOH change the trajectory of the game, or do old habits die hard and they get him out the following week? Chantel, do you feel like a Kacer HOH would ultimately be exactly what he needs to propel his game, or do you think that he'd be better suited to go under the radar?
No, I think that he needs to have some power in this game. And so he needs more information. He's been getting mixed messages from people. Nobody's telling him straight answers. Nothing's the truth. He's making his own deductions about some facts and some non-facts. And so I think that with him being HOH, he's going to be able to get a better landscape or a vision of what's going on in the game. And so then he might be able to move forward a little bit more effectively. Right now he's kind of playing blind and he's making a lot of mistakes. And so I think that if he was in that position again, I think it would be harder for him to advance further. Well,
I will say that watching him though absolutely destroy the first round in that competition and then sit there and strut around and wait for people to get done, that's not going to help him if he doesn't win HOH mm-hmm. because people are going to remember that, how well he did and how much they dodged a bullet by whoever assumedly would beat him in a final round. So if Kacer had any chance of moving forward in the house and not winning HOH, he needed to be really bad at whatever competitions. I think a wall competition would have worked really well for Kacer because he's not going to win something like that. But unfortunately, this one, there were people that didn't even have a ball in and Kacer's already mm-hmm. done. So you're going to tell me that you're going to let this guy stick around in the house? They're going to be scared of him, unfortunately. So he better win HOH.
Taryn, if he could do it, I know you've talked about this in the past about the power consolidating around the HOH. Do you think that he could take this HOH and not have it be a 1 week flash in the pan from the HOH room to out the door to something that he could build off of?
I love Kacer, but a better player could. I don't know if Kacer can.
In the words of Janelle,
this is terrible.
Okay.
Look, I will co-sign that. I would like for Kacer. Yeah, exactly. It would be a fantastic week if Kacer won HOH, but also it would be a fantastic week if he can dodge a bullet here and get his foothold in the game. But what he doesn't want to have happen is to perform really well in the HOH competition and then not win, because that's exactly what happened to Janie, and you saw what happened to her.
Okay. All right. We don't have our...
We do not have an HOH. The feeds are, here's the thing, the feeds are down right now, and we do not have a confirmed HOH. There is one reputable spoiler out there who typically puts out correct information, but they acknowledge that it is from one source and it is not confirmed by anybody else. So,
okay.
Let's
take a couple more questions and then see if we get some more information. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go back to Miriam. Since Franzel was voted best personality of her class of two, what was each of your high school most likely to become title? Can somebody give me the context for this? She went to high school with two people?
That was an exaggeration.
Okay. All right. She's from a small town. She was voted best personality in her high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Is that and that's true?
Yes. Okay. Sure.
All right. Does anybody want to reveal any accolades that they received?
I got best communicator, but that was because I was on the speech team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Sorry.
I think I got most likely to be famous, I think.
Whoa.
Really? I agree with that. Yeah.
But I went to an art school, so, you know, there's a lot of people doing arts.
Taryn, you got most likely to... Most likely
robot.
To upgrade.
I don't know. It's like maybe it would have been something like smartest or something like
smartest. That was, wow.
Yeah. Look at this panel tonight.
Wow.
And Rob, you?
Yeah, most likely to host a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Which was amazing because it was not invented yet. So that was what a shot in the dark. I'm seeing in the chat that they're saying that the live feeds potentially are not coming back until after the West Coast airing. Does that sound plausible?
It would be weird because they've been coming up sooner than that.
Like, I never remember that being a thing ever, right?
Like it would be weird that it was that all of a sudden. I think that maybe they're just taking a longer time because they want, like, they've normally had a lot of time. They've been taping the evictions ahead of time. I believe an hour and a half ahead of time. Mm-hmm. The last couple of weeks. This time they did it actually live, so they may need that like hour and a half of extra buffer time. And then on top of that, whatever else they would have had. So I don't know.
Okay.
So they taped tonight live. It was actually live tonight.
I believe so. Yeah.
You believe so. Okay. All right.
Okay. This is from Eden. Do you think that Danny's hinky boat plan is going to come back to bite her? We know that at least three people knew about the plan. One declined to partake. It's only a matter of time before the truth spreads around the house. Chantel, do you think that this is going to turn ugly for Danny?
I actually don't think it will. Every time she gets in a little bit of hot water, she seems to be able to get out of it. I think that Devon and Bailey will listen to what Danny has to say and will side with her eventually. I don't think that they're going to come targeting her right away. No.
Okay. All right. Does anybody disagree?
I don't think they're going to target her right away. But the thing that's true is that Nicole Franzel wants Bailey out of the house, and Danny has wanted Devon out of the house. And so I don't, you know, like, if again, by framing Devon and Bailey with votes, they're going to know, number one, they're going to want to know who did it. Like, Davon's not going to let that go. And that's going to cause things to happen in the house that maybe, like, Danny doesn't want to have happen. Like, I don't think Danny wants Davon going around investigating who did it and why they did it. Like, that, because that upsets the balance of the game as it stands currently right now, which Danny has a pretty good seat at. Why would she do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know who else did this early on in a season when they were in a secret alliance and they thought they could get away with blaming it on people? Spencer from the moving company. Worked out very well for him.
Yeah.
Nobody caught on. It was definitely not an unnecessary move that put the moving company at serious risk. Definitely not.
Okay. I do want to say that we have about 6,000 people watching the show live tonight. So very excited. That it was so nice to have you here. So excited that we are the most important people speaking at this hour. So this is really incredible that we had a record-breaking live show tonight. Woo. So incredible. Okay. Tara Renee says, did Nicole's goodbye message slap the way that she thought it would?
No. Chantel, this was such weak sauce. Like, to hear Franzel tell about it was like, oh, I went in the diary room and I'm going to uninvite her to my wedding. Should I do that? Should I uninvite her? And then they're like, yeah, you should definitely do that. Like, uninvite her to your wedding. And then, like, she went in the diary room, she did it. And then she did another diary room. She taped it again. Like, if this is the end result of her couple of takes at the diary room, this is terrible.
Yeah, she definitely, it didn't land at all, that slap. I'm also wondering, why didn't they show Danny's? Because Danny was kind of saying how she wasn't the kindest to Janelle and kind of used her catchphrase, well, she said bye bitches instead of bye bye bitches in her ending or in her thing to Janelle. So I'm wondering why they didn't show that.
I don't know, because they were working on the Danny villain edit on Wednesday, right? So that would have tied right into it if they wanted to use that tonight.
That's what I thought.
I mean, Danny strikes me as the kind of person that would have come in knowing about the strategy of saying that you trash talk people in your goodbye messages, and she might be starting that early. Because it doesn't make sense
to through that herself.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to start claiming that you're saying bad things about somebody in goodbye messages at jury, because people will see through it. But if you've been saying it all along, then it might be more believable.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we do this? Let me tell you about what's coming up on Robert's podcast. And then if we don't have any feeds by then let's discuss the potential rumor. Is that sound fair?
Sounds fair.
And very unconfirmed. Okay. All right. Here's what else is going on. If anybody's been following Tough as Nails, we've been doing weekly recaps with the host and creator of Tough as Nails, Phil Kogan. Joined Phil, Jess, Mike Bloom, and myself as we discussed the finale of the team portion of Tough as Nails. If people haven't been watching Tough as Nails, that there is a team portion of the game and an individual portion of the game. And what's kind of novel about Tough as Nails is that they stay in their teams the whole time. There's a prize for each team. That part of the game ended on Wednesday night. We talked about that with Phil Kogan.
I didn't mean to stop you, but can I ask a question about that? Because I've been watching Tough as Nails, but I didn't watch the last episode. So I knew that, like, the team portion was on the verge of potentially ending because one team was, you know, on the verge of losing. So what are they going to do now? Like, how are they going to fill their episode? Is it just all individual?
There's one episode left. It's the two-hour finale, and it will determine the individual winner. There's basically, like, two different games going on in Tough as Nails. Okay.
Excellent.
All right. 90 Day Fiance, Happily Ever After, and The Other Way. Puya Zambakili is back to talk about what's going on over on our 90 Day Fiance wrap up over on robinswebsite.com. And find out why Richard won Survivor Borneo. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are back to talk about that as we wrap up our Wiggle Through Time series this week. Of course, Robin Akiva Need a Podcast will be back this weekend to talk about Murder Mystery, the Netflix film from last week. You can hear us answer 97 questions in our AMA that's coming over the course of this weekend. And then hopefully exit interview tomorrow morning. Taryn and I will talk with Janelle. Be on the lookout for that.
Taryn, look at that old school picture of you. You look like 12 there.
It's from like a year ago.
I know. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yes. Tara, are you doing vampire facials?
All the time. I mean, yes. Amongst other vampire things.
I have looked into that. I yes. really have. Yes. I'll update you if I have something done.
Okay. All right. Chantel, have you ever done that? Vampire facial?
I've never done it, but I've been seeing it a lot on, you know, these reality shows that I watch, and I'm intrigued. I mean, I might try it once.
Yes.
Okay. All right. If we don't hear tonight in the next couple of minutes about what's going on, you'll have to check in on the live feed update that Taryn and Pooya Zambakili, Pooya Friday, coming up 11 a.m. Eastern. Maybe give Taryn a couple minutes to reset in between when we do the exit interview. We do that right before the live feed update on Friday. And then check out everything that happens overnight. Will be a must-listen podcast on Friday morning, 11 a.m. Yeah. Eastern. Yes.
I'll need to cool down from going, I love you.
Yes. And Taryn, you're going to be on the interview with Janelle. Please just like give her the distilled story of what really happened in that.
And tell her that we love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be sure to go to Janelle and be like, by the way, Kevin hated you. Just so you know.
She needs to know that, actually.
Yeah. Taryn, can you tell us anything about the Saturday Night Roundtable Live?
We will be talking about the Legacy Watch. We'll see what getting voted out a third has done to Janelle's legacy. See how that's shifted the standings. See if Danny continues to free fall. We'll have a fun guest on with us as well.
Okay. All right. Be on the lookout for that on Saturday night. And then Sunday, we will be back together once again.
I just saw who the guest is. Ah. Sorry.
Yes.
I snooped.
Okay. All right. Sunday night, we'll be back live after the episode. It'll be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Be on the lookout for that this Sunday night. And of course, all this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Want to kick a new feature off for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And on these Thursday eviction nights, we did this for Survivor. I'm going to do it for Big Brother for the rest of the way. I'm going to go live with a Big Brother pregame show about an hour or so before we get to our Thursday night episodes. I'll start that next Thursday for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. If you want to jump on, it's a great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to do our patron cast on Friday. I'll be taking calls for about 5 hours or so from our patrons. But my pro tip is, hey, wait until the start of the next month. Wait until September 1st so they don't charge you twice while coming on board. So hope you join us the rest of the way for all of our Big Brother content. robswebsite.com/patron. All right. Should we talk about rumored spoilers?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Let's do that.
Rumored spoilers coming up.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. Gotta find the taboo buzzer. I still don't know where my kids took it. I haven't found it all season. Okay. All right. I don't look for it when I'm not on the podcast, though. That's the problem. All right. So we're going to talk about, this is a rumor and innuendo. We don't know. Okay. All right. Taryn, Brent, Chantel, how do you want to break this up?
Go ahead, Taryn.
About 38 minutes ago, if you were watching closely, you would have seen my face drop. And that's because I saw a tweet by Hamster Watch that said, possible spoiler. I usually wait at least two reliable sources. So this is unverified, but I've been told Enzo won the HOH.
Okay. All right. This is bad.
This is bad because
it's bad for Kacer.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, there were a lot of people in the house that I do not think would target Kacer. Unfortunately, Enzo is one of the people that might and seems likely to. Enzo is like the biggest hype man for his group of people and doesn't want to do anything to upset the balance of the apple cart. So I think that there is a chance that he might go after Kacer here. The only real question is, who does he put Kacer up against? And is it possible that, assuming Enzo is HOH, that whoever is up against Kacer could be seen as a more enticing target. But again, yeah. Kacer made himself look really good in the first part of the HOH competition. If he did indeed lose tonight, that's not going to help him.
Chantel, I feel like that, you know, this is not a foregone conclusion just because that if Kacer is Enzo's target, I mean, that this is not a scenario where Kacer and Janelle will both go up on the block. There's still the veto. He still has the opportunity to campaign this week. Would this be maybe, is there a chance he could survive the block?
I mean, there's a chance he can survive the block, but I just assume he's either going to be put up beside David or put up beside Kevin. He's not going to ruin his relationship with any of the rest of the girls that are in the house. He's in pretty good position with all of them. So those are the, I think it's just going to be a combination of those three people. Maybe he'll try to backdoor Kacer or not put him up right away. And so to maybe curry some favor just in case he wins the veto, that type of thing. But I think that Kacer, David, and Kevin are in the biggest danger for
this. Best case scenario, I think, for an Enzo HOH would be something like, you know, he puts up, you know, Kacer and David or Kacer and Kevin as initial nominees, and the paranoia of what Danny has been up to in the house tends to spill over and fester a little bit between himself and Cody and Tyler, and they eventually can convince Enzo to backdoor Danny and make a huge move in the house and, you know, do it for Enzo's resume. I think that is a long shot, but it is not out of the realm of, look, it's not out of the realm of possibility after the events of this week, especially after the events of the last 48 hours. So I do think that there's a small chance.
Just the other night, Enzo was, or it might have been last night, Enzo was talking about backdooring Danny. I'd backdoor, yo. And how it should be done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So it's definitely in the realm of possibility, but it's also a move that just doesn't make any sense for Enzo or for Cody or even really for Tyler at this point. It's still a bit early for that. Mm-hmm. If Enzo puts Danny up on the block, she blows all of their stuff up. And that's not good for anybody.
What about Ian? Would he be in any potential danger on Enzo HOH?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yes, very much in danger. I could see Ian being a very definite potential backdoor.
Okay. All right.
Because it weakens Nicole, and Enzo is not a huge fan of Nicole. Enzo also is like, we got to get these winners out, yo. We can't have a winner winning our season, yo. So that could definitely be an option.
Yeah, actually, that might be one of the few people that Kacer could survive the block against would be somebody like Ian, because there are a lot of people that I think would like to get Ian out of the house. Even though Franzel obviously would push hard to keep Ian, I think that other people might be a little bit more threatened by him. I want to see how the house guests feel after Kacer performed so well in round one of the HOH competition tonight.
And how about Bailey and Davon? Would they be safe on an Enzo HOH?
They should be safe. Now, Enzo is a huge fan of Bailey. Not a huge fan of Davon. But just like the fact that he's a fan of Bailey means he can't put Davon on the block without losing Bailey, which means I don't think he'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that was the only good thing. Chantel, for real, if Enzo is HOH, the one good thing, because there were a couple of possibilities tonight, you know, Christmas, Ian, who might put up Bailey and Davon, I don't think Ian would have done that, but he might have gone after one of them. I think that Enzo being HOH, if he is, our girls are probably safe. And there were a couple different ways they could have gone home. So probably safe. And I think that the one thing that, even though that Enzo is not a big fan of Davon, I do think that he thinks that Davon trusts him. And I do think that that is true. I think that, don't you think that Davon trusts Enzo?
No. Oh, I think she trusts Enzo, but I don't think Enzo thinks that she trusts him.
All right.
They've been joking around a lot. I think that they do have some sort of trust in there. So, I think they're going to
stay. Enzo was the guy beating the drum the hardest just a few days ago about, why is she upset about the safety suite thing?
That was such a non-thing, though. Whatever, yeah. I guess it could be bigger in his eyes.
Do you think CBS is kind of like worried? I think 9 out of 10 competitions have been won by the men in this season, and the first three women that have been exiting the game have been like, it has been women, not like a combination. Like, I feel like optics wise, it's not good.
Define worried.
Give an F.
They don't care.
Really?
Yeah, I think they sort of look like, okay, are we on the TMZ today? No? Okay, we're doing fine.
I also think that that's another reason why Danny might be safe this week, because three women have left the house. I think that more than anything, they're going to want to get a guy out of the house just so they can defuse this possibility of a guy's alliance. So that might be something else to keep an eye on.
And I beat this drum the hardest that I think they need to change their competitions. And I am concerned about the current state of competition wins, but mostly because I'm worried about what's coming in the future. Like if the end game competitions are like they were last year and the year before, then we're really screwed at this point. But what they've given us so far has been relatively fair. A lot of these competitions, this one looks like it could be won by anyone. The previous couple look like that. There were a couple that were leaning toward very, very physical players. And even specifically the first one was obviously leaning toward men, with the where they had to put the ball. But I think is a problem, because I expect a lot more like that. And when you get unlucky with these even ones that also go to men, and women are being evicted now, men are more likely to win them, it starts to become a problem. But so far, I will say I've been okay with like the competitions have actually been better than previous seasons, I think, so far.
Yeah, I do think that the situation with COVID, where they don't have as big of a production team potentially to be able to make these giant builds, I do think that probably helps in this department in terms of like what they're able to do in terms of how physical these competitions are going to be. But it remains to be seen. Okay. All right. Until we find out for real.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing more to really speculate.
Yes.
I just like this. I hate that they ended the episode that way. Like, I wish I hadn't seen Kacer do so well, because I was so excited and I was like, oh my God, Kacer might win this thing. And then I immediately had the thought, I was like, I just know it. The feeds are going to come back on. And like Cody's going to be wearing the key, or I guess Enzo will be wearing the key, and I'm going to have gotten my hopes up for nothing. And I just wish that they had cut the episode before I knew Kacer had done so well, because then I wouldn't have gotten my hopes up, and I'd be feeling much better right now.
Not for anything. Would you recognize Kacer if he ever didn't get your hopes up and let you down? I mean, hasn't this been the story of your relationship with Kacer? He gets you excited and then leaves you hanging.
He does. He's good at that.
He's just not playing with the right people. Yeah. If we were all playing with him, he would have a better game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Brent, where can people keep up with you?
You can keep up with me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And I will be there to rant about this season of Big Brother and anything else that's on my mind. If you want to talk, you can always send me a DM. My DMs are open, and I'm here to hang with you and talk about this season.
I just want to say that I enjoyed you very much on the LFC Roundtable. It's always a treat. I love seeing the passion when you and Melissa are unleashed on Taryn on Tuesday nights. It's very fun.
Yes, it's always very fun watching Taryn's face. I watch the chat, and me and Melissa are just, you know, like we're getting out everything that we've been feeling since the last time we were on the podcast. Of course, Taryn, you hear from Taryn every day, and Taryn's just, he's so good at just like, you know, being our listening ear. He's like our therapist on the LFC Roundtable.
But you don't understand.
I sometimes feel like a parent watching my children kind of like go nuts, and I'm just kind of like, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'll have to rein them in eventually, but I'll let them get their energy out.
Yes. Okay. Chantel, where can people keep up with you?
On Instagram, you can find me at ShanFranFran, and I have a link in the bio that has everywhere that I'm at. But also on my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with three S's, I've been talking about Love Island US 2.
Yes. What do you think so far?
I like it better than last season. Last season, I wasn't interested at all. And I'm interested this time around. So
let me ask you this. Is it part of like, that's all we got? Is that part of the reason why you're like, Love Island, I might as well? Because I'm like the same way, where I'm like, you know, I don't like, I was never interested in Love Island last year, but this year I'm like, well, what else am I going to watch? Like,
fair. Well, I was a super fan of Love Island UK. And then when it came last year, I was like, oh, this is great. And then it was terrible. And so now I'm watching it again. Obviously there's not as much on television. And so I've been like giving it another chance, and I've been finding that it's been better. It's new and improved than it was last year. So I'm giving it a chance, and I'm liking it so far.
I actually got to watch the first two nights of Love Island, and then I podcast with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally about it as well. And I thought it was fun.
Giselle, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Carrington?
God, he's just, I mean, like, all the guys are so young. I think they're all 25 and under, and I'm just, I mean, yes, they're cute. I'm sure in high school they got all the girls, like, you know, but like, they don't have any swagger. I think they're kind of idiots, but, you know, I want to see him fall, to be fair.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right. And Taryn, after this, you're going to be live, what, all night long slumber party on Twitch?
We'll see. I mean, if we get surprised in case there's the HOH, you'll find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong.
Yeah.
If it's Enzo, we'll see. If we're having fun, I might pop on. So if you just go there to twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, you hit the follow button, then you'll be notified if I do go live and you can hang out with me. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, and you can find me tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us again. I think I'm pretty sure that this was a record setting night here on the recap after the episode, about we've just under 6,000 people watching us live. So thanks for being here with us after all these episodes. You know where to find us after all of these shows this season. All right. Keep your fingers crossed on these HOH results. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.